Let's pray. Father, it is your breath in our lungs. But the scripture does not separate out your breath from your spirit. Your breath is your spirit. And so, Father, breathe on us. Give us your spirit. Give me your spirit so that out of my weakness comes your strength. And it is not my words that go out, but yours. And give all of these your spirit, all of these who gather here, so that they do not hear me, but hear you. As you speak to their hearts, give them the message collectively and individually that you need all of us to hear. For you have given us a great word. You have given us a great Savior. And great joy. Thank you, Father. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at putting on the full armor of God, as laid out for us in Ephesians 6. One puts on armor and picks up a shield and a sword for only one reason: battle. And honestly, much of the trouble this old world is in is because the enemy is attacking, and far too many of God's people have either had their heads in the sand or they've been quickly willing to surrender, compromise, and make peace with the enemy. Those who've had their heads in the sand are often quick to offer rationalizations, downplaying the threat that the enemy brings. They just pull in their shutters, bar their doors, wrongly believing that if they just hunker down behind their stained glass fortress, they'll be fine. And others who seek compromise and peace with the enemy, or who have just outright surrendered, have seen once great congregations reduced to nothing. I have personally known churches that have 4 to 5 times the education space that we do, who have sold it all off to developers for condominiums, just so they can get the cash out of the buildings to be able to cling to their precious sanctuaries a little while longer. Never realizing, or at least never being willing to admit, that they have stopped being the Church of Jesus Christ a long time ago. But the scripture is clear that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness, against our adversary, Satan. So we therefore do not wield a sword of steel, but the sword of the Spirit, that is the very word of God. For this battle is not first and foremost about territory, but about the hearts and minds of people, about the souls of people, the lives of people. This is how the battle is fought: one life, one soul at a time. This is how Ireland in the 5th century and South Korea in the 20th century went from being pagan to Christian. But let me be clear. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not counting on you and me to save the world. Jesus Christ has already done everything that was necessary to save the world there on the cross. For he defeated sin and death and won the ultimate victory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 54 through 58, the Word of God says, "But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." Knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23, the Word of God asks, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." The Apostle Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. He is writing this knowing that death could come at any time. For you see, Satan's two biggest weapons are sin and death. Christ's victory does not mean there is no more physical death. Christ's victory means that Satan doesn't win, that death has lost its real power. Christ's victory means that the goodbye at death is not forever. Jesus told his disciples goodbye, and he died on the cross, but he saw them again. We too shall see the saved again on the other side of death, face to face, just as real. That is the victory. There is an ultimate victory in the end. When Jesus was there with Mary and Martha on the way to the tomb, he said to the girls that your brother will rise again. And Martha said, "Well, I know on the last day he will rise again." And Jesus said, "No, I am the resurrection and the life." This is the victory, that the sting of death no longer carries its power to be able to rip and to tear. When Paul is writing to the Philippians from that Roman prison, he knows that he will never walk out of there alive. His execution could come at any time. But hear again what he says. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. For I do not know which to choose. I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is necessary for your sake." Having the desire to depart and be with Christ. The word there for depart in the Greek language that Paul was using was the word that you would use to pull down tent ropes and pack up and move on. It's the word that you would use to unhitch the ropes, the lines off of a boat, so that you're able to sail away. That's all that he's talking about doing. I just want to unhitch from where I'm at. I want to take down the ropes and pack up and move on so that I can be with Christ. Is there any hint, as he's there in this Roman prison, chained to a Roman guard, is there any hint of fear in his words? No, not a drop. He knows that the victory has already been won by Jesus Christ there on the cross. And he knows that in service to the Lord, he has fought the good fight. Only one who is born again in Christ, in right relationship with Christ, can know such peace when facing death. When I was a teenager in Gainesville, our worship leader at church was a wonderful man named Larry Knowles. His daughter Nancy was a year younger than me, and Nancy was my friend. She kept trying to get me to set her up with a guy on my football team. I even forgave Nancy when she went to Florida State. By the way, let me be clear. I am not now a candidate for a head coach at the University of Florida. I did tell him after the last guy left that I could win just as many games for half the money, though. I love Nancy. I loved her heart. I loved the way she loved Jesus. So over Christmas of my senior year, she went up to Nashville, Tennessee for a big missions conference, and she took a friend from FSU. And that year was a good year for the Seminoles. They were playing Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl in Miami for the national championship. And Nancy's plan was to drive from Nashville down to Gainesville, stop off at her house, change clothes, fix her hair, and then she and her friend the same day then would drive on to Miami to be there by 7 o'clock in the stadium for the football game. She didn't make it. She fell asleep at the wheel of her VW Beetle out on the turnpike, not far from where we're standing, sitting right here. Her friend had fallen asleep too. And after the car had drifted off the road, rolled down the embankment, her friend got out of the car without a scratch, brushed himself off, and saw Nancy laying over in the grass, dead. She was gone. I watched the game that night, looking in the stands, seeing if I could spot her. I didn't know that she was already with Jesus. She was the first person really close to me that I had lost to death. And at the funeral, I was sitting with her friend, who was an amazing Christian. The same friend from the car wreck, he was sitting right there next to me when suddenly I just couldn't stand it anymore and I just began to cry. And he said, "Stop crying. There's no need for that. She is with the Lord. This is a time of joy." And I stopped crying. And I'm still mad about it. Here again, the words of victory from Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, this is that time of victory and that time of joy, but the word does not say not to grieve. Only that we are to not grieve as those who have no hope. Jesus grieved on the way to the tomb of Lazarus. He wept with Mary and Martha, knowing that Lazarus would be home for supper. My heart was broken that day. But that grave on 39th Avenue in Gainesville does not have the final word. That is the victory. Nancy is not there, but like the thief on the cross, she was with Jesus in paradise the very night she died. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the word says in 2 Corinthians 5:8. And I will see Nancy again someday. The same way anyone who has been born again, surrendered their life to Christ, and put on the full armor of God will see their loved ones. The same way anyone who has fought the good fight and finished the race will see their loved ones. The same way anyone who has picked up their cross and followed Jesus all the way to Mount Calvary will see their loved ones. For we are no longer prisoners of sin. The blood of Christ has won that victory and broken the chains of sin. We no longer need to fear death. For Christ has conquered death, and now when death comes, we just untie the tent, pack up, and move on to our final destination. For our new forever home is with the Father, and to live as His children forever and ever, more alive than when we can ever be now. As a pastor, not only do I do a lot of funerals, but I'm with people often. Excuse me. I'm with people often as they are about to breathe their last breath on this earth. One of my favorite little ladies in the world was a lady named Miss Dessie. She was every bit the surrogate grandmother to our children. She had a wonderful husband named Tom who had also served in the military. He had been in artillery with General Patton. Tom couldn't hear a thing hardly by the time he came back home. But what a wonderful, sweet man. And as Dessie was dying, she knew that she was dying, and she couldn't wait to get to heaven, to see Jesus. She said, I can't wait to see Jesus, and I can't wait to see Tom too, but I want to see Jesus. We were all gathered there, her daughter, her grandson, who she loved deeply, who's now a pastor in Alabama. We all held hands. Said a prayer, and she took one big last breath, and we prayed, and we just stood there for a moment or three, and then she opened her eyes, looked at us, and said, am I still here? And her daughter looked at her and said, "Yes, Mama." And she said, "Well, all right then." And she closed her eyes. And a moment or two later, went to see Jesus. Praise God that we can face death like that. Praise God for His victory over sin and death. Praise God for the victory He has won for us. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, that is the battle. And it's not just a victory, but a million little victories all over the world. For as Nancy died that day on the turnpike, there was a victory. For death was conquered. And when she opened her eyes, she saw the face of Christ. And when Jessie opened her eyes and saw us, she was genuinely disappointed. She wanted to open her eyes and see the face of Jesus, and a few moments later, she did just that. That is the victory, Lord. We don't need to be afraid of anything anymore. We don't need to be afraid of sin. We don't need to be afraid of death, for You have conquered all of that. Sin has no hold on us. You have broken those chains. And we are free. Because of Christ, we are free. That is the victory. And there is that ultimate victory that will come one day when we do hear that trumpet and when our Lord does return. There is that victory to come, but all along the way, is victory after victory when the saints of Christ close their eyes on this earth and open their eyes in heaven and see His face. So, Father, thank You. Thank You. For the million and one little victories You have won because You love us. For the ultimate victory, where everything in this world that is wrong will be made right. And You will rule forever and ever. Thank You, Father. In Christ's name we pray.